all about duty, honor, and country. Today's Tuesday, March 4th, 2014. My name is Sally Bestis. Thank you for tuning in to our weekly American Freedom Watch radio show with host Karen Schoen and John Estabrook. And before we get started, I've got a couple things I've got to share with everyone. First off, happy birthday, Brooke. This is her 18th birthday. This is my niece. And I wanted to make sure I put this out there, and I've already been saying, okay, have you registered to vote yet? I drive them a little bit crazy with making them involved in what's going on, whether they want to be or not. But she told me today, it was actually pretty funny, she said today, she gave me her friend's name and said, you're going to have to talk to him. This guy is more into politics than I think you are, Aunt Sally. It's like, I said, well, this is good. He's already asked me about four times if I've registered to vote. So don't worry, I'll register to vote. So anyway, so that was kind of funny. I appreciated that. And anyway, she'll be out there voting. I know she will. She's heard me complain enough about what's going on, and she's starting to feel some of that. As a young adult, you start realizing how the system isn't necessarily helping you out all the time. And we've even had some conversations about Common Core and her own education. So that's that. And the other is last night we had a two-hour show on transportation, Florida transportation specifically, and there's a group in South Florida called Rollback Tolls. You can visit their site, rollbacktolls.com. But definitely take a few minutes, a couple hours actually, listen to last night's show and get into what is really happening with transportation here in Florida. You have to understand transportation has nothing to do with moving people from one place to another, moving goods and services from one place to another. It's all to do with how much money the scumbags in public office, whether they're those elected and, of course, all the appointed public servants, how much they can rip us off in every which way they can do it. Totally disgusting. And the other thing is I've got to make sure everybody's on notice. And this is apparently Scott Walker is the one who's starting this from Wisconsin, or his cabinet or his administration, whatever, who is now trying to get the feds to change the laws so that they can put tolls on the interstates all across this country. So you better check that out. And tomorrow, or Thursday night show, the second half, I'll be talking about the transportation. So please tune in and get involved because it's going to get worse. Then the other thing, today I was listening, you know, this is the first day of the legislative session for our good old friends in Tallahassee, and a couple times I had to get up and go to the bathroom because I was about to puke, and I'm not, I mean, it is so disgusting. If you've ever listened to these opening ceremony, and that's what I'm calling it, a ceremony, it's like, would you people just get to work instead of standing up, having a pep rally, and clapping and wondering how wonderful you are and thanking you for your sacrifice. Wait a minute, you people haven't sacrificed. Give me a break. You're the ones who are sacrificing us for everything that you want and the money and the games that you play. But, I mean, I was listening to this. I was listening to Rick Scott give his State of the State routine and how much money they're going to give us back and all the surplus of tax dollars. Wait a minute, you're telling me you don't have money for the roads. But wait a minute, all these tax dollars you're going to give, okay, you're going to increase them by all these toll taxes you're going to charge us. The whole thing is just so disgusting. It's like, you people make me sick. That's all there is to that piece of it. I'm telling you, it was just my stomach. I was so nauseated listening to this stuff, and I had to mute it a couple times because I couldn't take any more of it. I mean, they just pat themselves on the back. They spend all this time. You know how they do with the stupid State of the Union thing where they all stand up and clap. And I just wish they'd go get to work and do what they're supposed to and stop all the nonsense. That's silly me on that one. And then the other thing, which I'm sure Neil Rice will be glad I'm going to mention, vote no on Amendment 1, which I think is going to be critical to the conversation we're going to be having tonight. Get out there and vote. Do not let them play games with these midterm election things because they think the people don't know any better and they can flip the garbage through to go and put an amendment on a midterm election is to show how disrespectful these people in public office are. They are doing it now because they figure they can slide it through easier without so many people being involved. Please get out and vote. It really does matter. And especially, this is also true with local elections. people can be elected in the primaries at your county level. Please get out and vote, and vote no on Amendment 1. And on that note, I will hand it over to you, Karen.
Well, thank you so much, Sally. And, yes, we're going to talk quite a bit about Amendment 1. Welcome, everyone. This is American Freedom Watch Radio, and we are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, every Tuesday night from 8 to 10 Eastern Time. And we are brought to you live on RedStateTalkRadio.com. On Wednesday at 12 in the afternoon and Sunday at 12 in the evening. We have a very exciting show today, very exciting people will be joining us, wonderful man, Kirk McKenzie, whose website is called Defend Rural America. And folks, he's been doing that for a long time out in California. So he has agreed to come on the show with us this evening, tell us what's going on in California so that we can be prepared in the rest of the country. Please visit our websites, agenda21today.com, americaismyname.com, karenshone.com, votekarenshone.com, and panhandlepatriots.com. Neil Rice is with me today because today is the first day of Lent, and Mardi Gras is going on in Louisiana, and John is riding around on a float. Isn't that exciting? I'm so happy for him. So welcome, Neil. Thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Sally.
Sally, you were talking about the legislature, I call them the criminals, in the Florida House and Senate. And they certainly are a very, very disappointing crew of people. Will not even bring a Second Amendment Protection Act to the floor of the Senate, and therefore, because of the pressure of the establishment, the Second Amendment Preservation Act will not be presented this year. What does that mean to us, folks? We better elect new people in 2014 if we want to protect our freedom. And today our freedom took a real shot in the eye, really, really, really bad shot in the eye, when the Supreme Court refused to hear the case about the German family who fled to America so that they could homeschool their children, because homeschool is outlawed in Germany. And our Supreme Court and our president and disgusting, disgraceful attorney general is sending them back to Germany while we have 20 to 30 million illegals in this country, and a German family that's doing the right thing by their children they are sending back. I have no words to describe that. I really, really don't. I'm so nauseated by the fact that that was done. When I heard it this morning, if I could have punched Eric Holder in the face, I would have done it. It's a good thing he was in snow-capped Washington, D.C., and not in Panhandle of Florida, because that was a disgrace. But you know what? That's more of a wake-up call for all of the rest of the people who think that you are going to have autonomy over your children. It's not going to happen. American children are going to become wards of the state. And if you think that's not going to happen, then I suggest that everyone go to freejustina.com, because that's another case. Don't know if you guys have heard about it, but this is about Justina Peltier, who was diagnosed and put in Tufts, went to Tufts. Her family lives in Connecticut. She went to Tufts, a fabulous hospital. They treated her. She has a very rare disease. They treated her. She was doing so well. She was ice skating, roller skating, running around the way a teenager should. She developed the flu. Her parents took her back to Tufts. Her doctor was moved to Boston Children's Hospital. They took her up to Massachusetts to go to Boston Children's Hospital. That was a year ago. They confiscated this child, took her away from her parents. DA got DCF involved, that's the Department of Children's and Family, got DCF involved, so that they went to court and cited the parents for cruelty to this girl for providing treatment to her that was prescribed by her doctors. As a result of that, she is now in almost a vegetative state. She is paralyzed from the waist down. Boston Children's has withheld medication from her, claiming that her disease is in her head. Folks, this is a real deal. This is going on in the United States of America because we are not talking out. And I cannot stress that enough. Every time somebody says, "What can I do, Karen?" my answer is the same. Contact your legislators. Write letters. Go to meetings. Yelling at the television does not help. And I use Neil Rice, my good friend, as a perfect example of what people can do when they want to get engaged. There is no excuse for any of this to be going on right now in the United States of America. All of this is totally unconstitutional. Where is your voice? And you know what the sad part is? My friends who say never again, shame on you. Shame on us. Because never again is becoming again. And if we can't see the handwriting on the wall with this abusive, disgraceful, tyrannical regime headed by a Muslim dictator, and yes, I said it, headed by a Muslim dictator, shame on us, and we get the government we deserve. I am so disgusted at what is going on with the children in our country. It is unbelievably sad. It is unbelievably sad. And this is the first time I have actually said I am so glad I do not have children, because I did not ever want them to be raised as good little communists. And that's what's happening. And on that note, how are you, Neil?
I'm fine, and you are so right, Karen. I mean, there are no words. What is going on and the games that our politicians are playing, we're not going to call it Common Core, we're going to call it something else, but it's still the same curriculum. They're using the same books, they're using the same materials, and they're using the same procedures in the classroom that it was called for. Nothing has changed.
And, no, they didn't give us a carrot. They gave us a carrot and said they would go back and they would re-enter and put back cursive writing. Yay! Isn't that exciting?
Ooh.
So now the kids can read and write cursive writing in communism. How exciting.
Well, they need to get evolution out of our schools. It destroys Christianity for a child. And it's a myth. Why are we teaching myths in school of any kind when we do not have the time, I'm told, to teach true American history? But we have time to teach lies, fantasies?
Yep.
Our educators have a problem in Tallahassee.
You are absolutely right, Neil. That is so true. Think about that, folks. Education was turned from facts into value. Whose value? And now the value is a myth instead of the truth. And check that out, folks. Look it up. Go look up Shirley MacLaine from the McReel Foundation. In 1989, good old Shirley went to a meeting under the guidance of George Bush 41. And the meeting was headed by Bill Clinton when he was the president of the Governors Association.
And at that time, good old Shirley said, we're going to change education. Individualism will be replaced by collectivism. Excuse me? Since when do we teach collectivism in school? That is unconstitutional. We do not have anything collective in our schools, in our constitution. We are based on the individual and the power of the individual. Then she said, education will be all about training to work. Folks, that's not education. That's training to be a little bobblehead, which is why we are in the mess that we are in today, because all we are capable of doing is shaking our head up and down, yes, master, yes, master, yes, master. And that in itself is a travesty. But then the last part, really, that was the one that floored me, and how this could be accepted by a group of seemingly intelligent people leads me to believe that there isn't an intelligent person in our government at all, because she said fact will be replaced with value. Fact.
You know, one thing they need to realize, too, when you're saying individualism, come the last day when our Creator comes back, He is not going to be judging us as a group. He is going to be judging us and what we stood for and what we did in our lives as individuals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is disgraceful that, well, maybe you know something, you know, maybe people don't understand the difference between individualism and collectivism. Maybe they don't realize that. And collectivism or group management is just a way to control people, because today you could be part of one group and tomorrow you could be out of that group. I could make a group and give social justice, which is favoritism, to a group, to all of the people from the ages of 50 to 60. And tomorrow I could say, no, I'm taking away those privileges because the group dynamics is now going to be 55 to 60. And the next day I could change the group dynamics until I create a group dynamic of anything, what collectivism means. You are not important to our people who run our government. You are a number, and you are only as good as your ability to work. And if you can't work for them, they are not interested in you and could care less about you, your family, who you are, and what you stand for. Unbelievable.
No, that's correct. Another thing on this group business, too, every group has to have somebody that speaks and stands out for them. So they pick a person out of that group to be the person that stands out front.
Yes,
and that is how they do their agenda, yes.
Let's remember that these people are paid by the group. They're paid by the government to come and tell us how we should act, how we should live, how we should behave, what we should teach our children, what food we should eat, where we should go, what we should be doing, and now, as we are finding out where we should be living, the size of the place that we should be living in. Really, after all, we know that those of us that live in rural counties, we're living in sprawl. That's a good word. What does sprawl mean? Well, sprawl means, folks, that I could have a two-bedroom house and paint it yellow, and Neil could have a four-bedroom house and paint it green, and Sally could have an eight-bedroom house and paint it pink. And Sally could have a quarter of an acre, and Karen could have 10 acres, and Neil could have 5 acres. To them, that's sprawl, because it is individual differences that dictate how you live. Take a ride down to these communities. What are you going to see? All the little row houses look the same. All the little row houses are modeled after similar floor plans. How exciting. Isn't that a thrill? That's
yeah, you have no identity, no.
No, your identity is totally wiped out. It's like someone sent over a cartoon, which too bad I can't tell everybody. I can tell you what the cartoon was, but I thought it was very telling. A whole bunch of children in all different colored clothing, dressed, everything, going into the government school, coming out all the same in a gray uniform. That's what it looks like. And that's what we're producing. And how dare they, those legislators, think that they have become experts. Because what is an expert? An expert is somebody with an attaché case that's not in their hometown and thinks they know something. Don't be afraid of the legislators. You are better than them. You know more than them. You have more knowledge in your pinky than they do in their entire brain, because they are up there right now espousing how to be bobbleheads. However, I have to give credit where credit is due, and even though I am mad at them for not having a Second Amendment bill, today we did get word that Senator Greg Evers and his bill, let me get the bill number. This was very good, and I was very pleased to see this. Senator Evers, and it's SB 1314, and Representative Terry, who isn't my favorite person or yours, Neil, because he's the one that wants to increase. He's the one that wants to increase term limits, but I think you might be off that kick. Anyway, his bill, companion bill, is HB 395. They may have been listening to some of the things that we have been sending them. And this is a private property rights and growth management bill. So kudos to those two senators, because they are absolutely right on target. They have gone through, as we did, the Florida State Comprehensive Plans, and they have found they do not protect private property, just like we've been saying for the last 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. However, we do have a couple of senators, and we do have a senator and a representative that is sticking their neck out. So if you live in the state of Florida and you are in the sound of our voice, please contact Representative Perry and Senator Evers. Thank them for this bill and for actually doing their job, which they should be doing anyway, but let's thank them for stepping up and absolutely protecting private property and growth management. What this bill will do is direct things like future land use, transportation, concurrency, potable water and sewer, conservation, economic development, and capital improvements, bringing them back down to a local level, so that the local municipalities and counties will be able to work on their own plans for what is best for their communities. So this is very good. What we have to do, as we've been saying, Neil, we have to go to those meetings. How important is it to go to a planning meeting?
Oh, unbelievable. But then when it comes back to your local community, you had better get involved and hold them responsible. Because like in Taylor County, they are running rampant here with their 2060 vision plan. They are going way overboard.
Tell the people what they're doing. Because we need to be on the lookout in all the counties. It's not just Taylor County. So tell everyone what they're doing.
Well, mainly it's so many directions they're going. We're a good-sized county. We have around 21,000 people here. And Foley Timber and Land has almost 600,000 acres in Taylor. And Bo Taff, the CEO there, brought this 2060 vision plan. Well, of course, he sits on many boards with the United Nations, so that explains a lot, to implement Agenda 21. So right now I'm working with the Army Corps of Engineers. They're trying to take a natural spring here downtown and dam it up, take out a complete street a couple of blocks over, or one block over, rather, from our main street through downtown, so they can extend and make a small park there. The grant that's going to, it's going to take almost, was it $900,000 grant to do the damming and the work on this natural spring to form this small lake. And that is a grant that all of, that's our tax dollar. And then that doesn't even account for the four pavilions that they want to put up around this small park. You have to remember when the
temps, I bet they're going to create a lot of jobs, says everybody.
Oh, yeah. I mean, gung-ho. I'd be happy if they created a parking space if you happen to want to get out of your car and go to the park. Then we have our courthouse with a, let's see, one, two, three, four area parking behind our courthouse. And that is packed full all the time. And that's where the police park most of their cars, and everybody that goes for their license, pay taxes, to go to court, anything like that, voting. And so now they're going to tear up that whole parking lot, and they're going to put another small park there with some benches, and they're going to plant some trees, and they're going to put in a splash pad so kids can run back and forth and play in the water. And, of course, their mothers are there supervising them, and unfortunately their mothers really shouldn't be in that because they're not up to a bathing suit anymore. But it's somewhat of a sight. So that's another grant that we're going to have. Then we're going to have a butterfly building.
Oh, how nice.
I know. I am so impressed. We've got a little doggy park now. They spent $3 million on 40 acres of land that they were going to do another park on, and then they found out they can't use it because two-thirds of it is wetland.
Oh, but you know what, Neil? I bet you have no unemployment in your county.
We have nothing. We are a poor, poor county. And my question to all of this, they say it's going to bring jobs to downtown. It's going to revitalize downtown. Well, downtown is old, old, old. It has very small shops. So anyone that is going to open up a business, if they should, let's face it, when a small shop, they can't buy large inventory so that they can pass on a good price to a small community. So they're not going to survive. There is no parking. They're making arrangements for parking a couple of blocks over, so that should be very nice to park and still walk a few blocks, and if you want to do any shopping, haul it back.
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I live in Taylor County. I want to go shopping downtown. You mean I can't go and park in front of the shop or in the next parking space?
If you're lucky, there's very few parking spaces. So I have to probably go
to a store and then walk blocks to go to my car.
Yeah.
That is going to be a lot of fun in a hurricane or in 95-degree heat.
Or rainy weather.
Well, raining weather.
Yeah.
Are they going to provide, maybe they're going to provide little people to hold umbrellas for everybody. That's the job.
I don't know. They're totally nuts. The grants, the money that they are accumulating and spending it on such foolishness, like they built a produce pavilion catty corner across from where this natural spring is. And it's a huge pavilion. It's open. And, of course, the farmers have to pay to bring their produce there. Very limited parking. And then they have a splash pad there. And all of this is right off the main road going into downtown Perry. So the congestion, when people stop or want to look or want to get out, they've got traffic backed up. And it's just a total joke. And that piece of property before they put the produce pavilion on there was a nice grassed area that was kept really upkeep was great. And the farmers used to bring their wagons in and they'd set up their own produce. They weren't charged anything to do it. Now they only can come a couple of hours on a Tuesday morning and on a Saturday morning, where before they could sit there all day.
So if I'm a farmer and I pick my produce on Wednesday, I have to wait till Saturday before I can sell it. That's,
yeah,
that's
and kind of color that's, the brown spots that appear from
right.
Wednesday to Saturday.
Excuse
oh my
me,
God.
Karen.
Yes.
Karen, your guest has arrived.
Oh, how wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, we are so happy to have with us today Kirk McKenzie. Kirk has done a remarkable job and has helped us immensely connecting the dots and putting the pieces together. Unfortunately, as we're watching the devastation out in the West, and we are saying, no, 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 we don't want it to come here. So thank you so much for joining us this evening, Kirk.
Happy to do it.
We appreciate everything that you're doing. And folks, the website is defendruralamerica.com. And, folks, it doesn't just mean California and the West. Rural America is the whole country. So pay attention to what Kirk has to say. It's so important, and carry the message wherever you go. So, Kirk, we were just talking about some of the lovely things that have been going on in Neil's community, where it seems as though green space at the tune of a couple of $1 million is, of course, a lot more important than employing the people in the county. Imagine that.
Yeah, I think that's happening across the country, really.
Can you, as I've been going around and talking to people, can you explain what's going on with the dams? Because they don't seem to think that this is really happening. And we have some dams in Florida, and I've been telling them the first step is water management. Coming on your property and deeming that a puddle has now claimed your property as wetland. So could you explain how that procedure works so that we can figure out what we can do about it?
Sure. I mean, basically taking over water or food is exactly a mechanism for control of the people. And they do it by a number of variety of ways to do it, but it all ends up in the same bucket. So whether they call it wetlands or they blow up dams or they preserve salmon or whatever it is, it's all designed to bring about a certain outcome. Here in the West, and it's happening across the country, there is a plan that's there to blow up thousands and thousands of the dams that were built in the United States. And, of course, along with those, you blow up the reservoirs, which is just another word for man-made lakes. You blow up the lakes, which destroys the habitat, destroys it for the animals that are there, destroys the water supply, and destroys the energy production. And here in California, where we're facing a drought, I mean, the worst drought on record, nonetheless, they're trying to blow up dams. To me, it's a matter of criminal intent, because you essentially are bringing about the conditions that are going to bring about a massive hardship on people. And, there is no logic to it as long as you try and understand it from the perspective of a normal Christian-style American, if I can put it that way. The only way you can understand it is from understanding that there is a opposite side, and that side is in the control right now, and they seek to have a different vision of the world going forward, and they're going about to bring that about. And taking away our prosperity of lands is part of that, and if you control the water, you're well along your way doing that. So give you some examples so that your listeners know how important we're talking about. They're talking about blowing up Hoover Dam.
You're kidding.
Now, that hasn't reached the point where they're moving forward on that one, but If anybody knows the Columbia River Basin, where the Snake River goes and the Columbia River flows out the Pacific Ocean on the boundary between northern Oregon and southern Washington State, that beautiful area, there are four very large hydroelectric dams in the rivers as they come into the Columbia River Basin. They've been trying since the 1990s to blow up those four dams. We're talking about mammoth dams in the Klamath River Basin in northern California, southern Oregon. They're trying to blow up four hydroelectric dams that provide electricity to 60,000 people. And in addition to electricity, you're talking about the water. If you, you know, dams were built so that we'd have water in the summer. You know, we would collect it in the winter when we didn't need it, and we would store it for against drought in the summer and to basically sustain our agriculture and our food supplies. When you blow them up, you go back to a situation where the rivers will flood in the spring, they all become dry in the summer, and, you know, bring about, you know, damage to food production and our health and our economies. But it's happening, and there's over 1,000 been blown up so far.
Every time I think about that, it's so hard to fathom, even just on the hydroelectricity, bringing electricity to, you know, to 60,000 people, and hydroelectricity is a very inexpensive form of electricity.
It's actually, in almost every respect, the ideal, because the not only is it cheap, it takes a half a person to man a hydroelectric project that can generate, you know, 100 megawatts of energy. I mean, it's ridiculously low. The motors that are in those last 100 years or more. They're very stable motors. But as importantly, most people, Karen, I have a degree in electrical engineering, and I learned this, what I'm about to tell you, from Ron Artino, who operated the dams and who within the last week has passed away, much to my chagrin and I think a lot of other people. But what he was informing me is that, you know, electricity flows at the speed of light from your switch to the generator. And if there's an imbalance between the demand and the supply, then the frequency starts shifting and the voltage starts to drop or rise, all of which are not only a nuisance and screwing up your clocks and your radios and all the rest, but they become major danger in manufacturing facilities where you have large motor and industrial processes. So there is a constant balance to try and make sure that the generation matches the demand at the moment. Now, when it comes to things like nuclear, from 0 to 100% nuclear is going to take you about 2 weeks. 0 to 100% in a coal production factory is days. 0 to 100% output in hydropower is 10 minutes. It is hydropower that keeps the line, our energy grid, working. If it weren't for hydropower, if we're relying on things like solar or wind, where, you know, there's, you know, one moment there's wind and sun, the next moment there's not. They're up, they're down, they're up, they're down, they're down at night. You know, that kind of electrical supply most people don't realize is really parasitic, and you're using the good energy source like hydropower to try and make room for these really unreliable sources and increasing your energy production tenfold and increasing the demand for land, because a solar panel farm takes approximately 1,000 times more land for the energy produced than a hydropower dam. So, and it's clean, it's renewable, there's no combustion, there's no carbon footprint. You know, everything about, as long as you have the fist passages and weight, hydropower is excellent, which is why China is building them as fast as it can.
Yes. What can you say? I mean, it is just staggering when you realize what these agencies, these remind everyone, unconstitutional agencies, I might add. We are guaranteed a Republican form of government, Article 4, Section 4 of our Constitution, not a government dictated and given to us by a bunch of bureaucrats whose sole purpose is to make money for themselves and their buddies. That's the purpose of these agencies. They have no real purpose anymore. At least not as far as I can see. That's an opinion, not a fact.
I have a question, if I may, of Kirk. Maybe I'm thinking wrong here. If I am, let me know. We realize a lot of reasons why they want to get rid of these dams, of course. But would another really good reason be because they want this national grid where it would bring a North American union with Canada, U.S., and Mexico?
Well, they want that. I have a suspicion we're probably along the path to that anyway. But let me give you another thing to think about. Up in the Siskiyou County, which is Northern California, you know, area, water there sells for $40 an acre foot. Okay, now that may not mean too much to people who don't deal with water or understand that, but, you know, an acre of land covered 1 foot deep is $40. In San Diego, it's $800 a square foot, 20 times that amount. If you can sell it as bottled water, it's over $1.5 million an acre foot. If you can become Nestle's or Pepsi, if you can grab control of the money supply and force the people to buy it, you will become extremely rich, which is why the Bush family is buying natural springs in undeveloped countries in South America. That's also why Nestle's is draining the Great Lakes one bottle at a time.
Right.
Yes. I read that also. And also let us remember that America has lots of fresh water. Who does not have lots of fresh water? China. That's where a lot of our water is going.
Yeah.
And now with the thing that we're experiencing in Florida, Kirk, is obviously the water management districts divided the state into regions, obviously. And what we have experienced throughout a variety of land grabs is seemingly when they want a piece of property, they will go on somebody's property with a pretext of something else, find a puddle, claim that it's wetland, and all of a sudden you get a circle around that piece of property and you can't go near that water.
And it gets to be even worse than that because it's now the criteria is not even that it's a puddle that it's wet, but that it has the potential of being wet within a 100-year period of time.
Right, yes.
It's called ephemerals. You know, it only is wet for a few weeks in the spring, and then it's dry the rest of the year. Ephemeral springs, or ephemeral weeks. It is not about environmentalism, and I think that one of my messages I would like to share with people. I'm an environmentalist. You know, I'm an old enough guy to understand where this whole thing came from. I understand the bald eagles and DDT, and I understand the some of the Silent Spring and Rachel Carson and all that kind of stuff. I'm an environmentalist. But we've allowed ourselves, the environmental movement has been hijacked by a political agenda which uses the words for the things that we love, open space and all those, and clean and renewable. Those are all words that all of us can embrace. But beneath that, underneath that, is actually a power and money grab. And that's the part that I think a lot of people don't realize. And I think that we make a big mistake by calling them environmentalists, because when we do that, the first thing we do is we put a white hat on their head and we put a black hat on our head, because we are thereby, by contrast, the anti-environmentalists. And I think nothing is further from the truth. I think we have to recognize that the environmentalists, as we now know it, the people who are in charge, it is a politically movement tied right in with the whole new world order, Agenda 21, all those good things. They are neo-environmentalists. And the environmentalists, the people who actually live in these places, there's nobody who lives in the heartland that is there for money or for power. You know, nobody goes out and farms because they want to be wealthy or power. You know, they go there because they love the open space, they love the land, they love the water, they love the fish, they love to hunt. You know, and they're seeing firsthand the destruction that's being wrought in the name of environmentalism. They're seeing destruction of dams, destruction of water habitat, destruction of our forests. They're burning up to a crisp because they don't let them manage them. They're seeing the destruction of our air quality with water, you know, forest fires that are putting far more dangerous and more particles into the air than mankind is. They're seeing the destruction of over 100 million animals here in the western states have been incinerated in the past 10 years because of forest fires. You know, they're seeing all this firsthand, and we make the mammoth mistake of allowing them to call themselves environmentalists. And I think that we need to start, if not calling them downright, you know, some other words, I would certainly suggest you think of them as neo-environmentalists and stop allowing them to kind of take that title, that's really kind of part of what's going on here. And it is just a new way to grab power and have the people's consent and support because the people think it's a good thing.
Yes. I was at one of these environmental meetings last couple of weeks ago, and that's exactly right. I asked the question, and I said, I don't understand, you know, Florida used to be a big logging area up in the panhandle where I live. And as soon as you stop the logging and you refuse to let the forests be taken care of, we had more forest fires because we're also the lightning capital of the world. So I said, I don't understand why you think that that's a good thing. And you know what? I never got an answer. Nobody ever answered me.
It's happening in the West big time. Every single Western state has had the biggest forest fire in its history in the past 10 years, and it's exactly because of what you say. They don't allow them to go in and harvest the forest. And so what happens, the trees keep growing. They get so dense that you have 10 to 100 times, 10, 20 times more trees per acre than you should for a healthy forest. They become weak. They become bug-infested. They're struggling for air. They're struggling for water. They're beginning to soak up more water than other trees. There starts to be a lot more what they call fuel loads, you know, branches and leaves and twigs and so forth that fall to the floor of the forest and start to build up so that when you do have a fire, they have what they call a fuel ladder. All these fuels have actually created a fire big enough to actually climb up into the trees, get up into the canopies, and then they just go screaming across the canopies in unprecedented fires. And it can reach temperatures of 200 degrees, and they can literally fry the earth. They will kill anything in the earth down to 8 feet deep. They get so intense in the heat. And imagine, you know, Bambi out there, just looking at this forest fire, 2,000 degrees coming at you at 60 miles an hour with 200-mile-an-hour winds. I mean, that's what's happening. And I think that people have to understand the bears, the deer, you know, chipmunks, squirrels, skunks, you know, all the things we love are being blowtorched at unprecedented rates, not just, you know, just the trees. And the limit that the economies are imploding. Over 30% of the nation's economies in the counties now are at risk of going bankrupt. That's because of this. I call them domestic terrorists. And I've had people say, Kirk, you sound like a little bit off the chart here, Kirk. That's going a little bit too far. And I say, what would you call it if somebody came to our country, say, from the Middle East, and began blowing up dams and torching our forests? why should we consider it any less because they're here in the United States? But that's what they're doing,
and
they're doing it by intent. Now, I think probably 90% of the people who are in it are doing because they're thinking they're doing a good thing. You know, they join the Sierra Club. I used to be a member of the Sierra Club. They join, you know, these different groups thinking they're doing a good thing, and they're not close enough to see the actual destruction and the reality of it.
Okay. And, yes, and I also realized, as you're saying that, you know, Neil and I have been doing a lot of investigation on regionalism, on the greenways, on the blueways, and on the conservation easements. And what we started doing is asking the people in our counties to go to the county tax assessor and find out how much land is off the tax rolls and in these conservation programs. The tax assessors are shocked when they're giving us the answers.
What kind of numbers are you seeing?
We're seeing in some counties 65 to 75%. We have Liberty County, that's 90%. They deem the whole thing as a forest. So
Taylor County, 82%.
And what's in your county, Neil?
82%. I requested from the property appraiser a map showing all the large land areas that were off the tax roll. I was not interested in individual property. I was looking for organizations or government, state, parks, whatever there was, wanting to know the names of them. and then to also be able to get the lost revenue on it.
Well, the kinds of numbers that you're quoting, I didn't realize. In the western states, the 10 western states, you know, the federal government claims unconstitutionally they own two-thirds. A lot of people say the federal lands. That's actually wrong, but that's what people think. Two-thirds
right.
of lands right off the bat before you even talk about what the agencies, you know, set aside. And I had no idea it was those kind of numbers outside of the 10 states. But across the board, what you're seeing is just Karl Marx, you know, his whole thing was control of the means of production, and the primary means of production is land. And so that's why he wanted abolition of private property. They're also basically abolition of the people's lands. All this is being taken back under the central banker's control, and through that they control the world and the people. You know, they control the health care, the education, the media, you know, the land, you name it. They're at the center of it. They're doing it to us, and until more people wake up and become effective in terms of organizing a response, it's going to continue and get worse, far worse.
And I agree with you there. We actually, from some of the research that we've been doing, we went through the comprehensive plans, too, in the state of Florida. And in all of the comprehensive plans, we've been to many county meetings telling the commissioners, go find a protection of private property rights in your comprehensive plan. They can't find it. So we do have a senator and a representative who today announced that they are going to pull back on, they have a bill that is going to pull back on the comprehensive plans and give them back to the local communities with a protection of private property. So that's a good step.
Good.
That's a step one. But it hasn't been heard yet. It is just a thought right now. But hopefully we will have enough people calling in and then doing the same thing in their states as well. Because when people start talking about land, I believe that people don't understand the value of land, and that comes from not being taught about America in school and the importance of land, because that's the way the individual accumulated wealth.
It's not an accumulation of wealth, but if you go back, right, the whole founding of the United States was based against fighting the idea of feudalism, that the sovereign was the king and the king owned all the lands, and the people therefore were basically indentured servants one way or another because they were basically working and giving a good chunk of their income, if you would, in the form of grain or whatever, to the king. And the United States was built upon a different idea. The people were the sovereigns. And I think most people don't understand this. Part and parcel right in there with constitutional government is the idea that people are sovereigns and they own the land. With very small exceptions for the federal enclaves, the lands, whether they be public or private, belong to the people. They do not belong to the government. And this whole thing has been turned upside down, and people have allowed it to happen because they've been dumbed down through education. Media is controlled all from Rockefeller Center in New York City. So we get basically the party line, nobody knows the truth. And it's a big problem. But I think that one thing I want to do is I want to get you back to this county kind of tax thing, because this is very important. Again, another thing that most people don't realize. I believe it was as a result of Supreme Court decision. They basically made a decision that it was unconstitutional for counties to keep property taxes because it was unfair to poor counties. And so now what happens across the nation is your county properties all go up to the state. They no longer stay in the county. County taxes are now another form of a state tax. And then so what happens is your county supervisors and your whole county government infrastructure doesn't have money. And in Fresno County, to give you an example, one of the larger rural counties in California, only 17% of property taxes actually stay in the county. The rest goes to California, and now your county becomes prostitutes. They essentially go out with their hands out. The grant writer is the most important person in the county these days, going out trying to find money. And what they're doing is they're selling their services as government employees to basically get the money in to fund the operations, and with that money comes all these conditions. So as a result, like in Fresno County, 47% of the money that funds that county is coming with dictates with it. This is how things like Common Core education and building high-density housing and, you know, stack and pack and all that kind of stuff is coming in. The federal government does not have the constitutional authority to do this, but it's using bribery to officials that have starved of money through these Supreme Court decisions, putting them in the position of taking money and therefore expanding the role of the federal government beyond its constitutional bounds. They become basically co-conspirators in this scheme to deprive the people of a Republican form of government. The solution, and the only solution, Congress is completely corrupt. A lot of the state governments are corrupt. The only place, in my opinion, where we can begin this, it has to be a county-by-county battle, and the people in the counties have got to come together, realize it's in their common interest to take back control of local government, because if you don't do it there, I guarantee you, if you don't take control of local government, you're going to have global governance. There's nothing in between. And I think we have far too many people who do wake up to think they want to lead a national crusade. To all those people, I suggest look at your own county, take control of your county, get people in there, start putting in a more democratic form of government where more people have a greater voice, that people get heard, and start pushing back and learn the real Constitution and things like property rights, sovereignty rights, and so forth, and begin to push back county by county by county, state by state by state. And I think the only place that we can do that, frankly, is in the heartland areas, because I believe the coastal high-density metropolitan areas are lost, and we're not going to get them back for quite some time.
Yes, I agree with you there. Hold that thought for a minute. We have to just say that we are on American Freedom Watch Radio. Thank you all for listening. We are live on blogtalkradio.com, American Statesman, every Tuesday from 8 to 10, and on Red State Talk Radio every Wednesday at 12 afternoon and every Sunday 12 evening. Please share our show. Our podcasts are on Blog Talk Radio. Please visit our websites, agenda21today.com, americaismyname.com, karenshone.com, and bookkarenshone.com. And please visit Kirk's website, defendruralamerica.com. Very, very important. We have linked everything land-wise going to your website in hopes that people will understand what's going on, because the attack on our food supply is really what I believe is really what's going to do us down, because people do horrible things when they have no food. And I believe that the high-density cities, having come from New York, having been in blackouts, brownouts, snowstorms, all of the above, when people don't have food, they get really, really nasty, really nasty.
You're absolutely right. Part of it is that rural America, where I think the values and the ability to stand up and fight are still exist, is they don't have a lot of population, so ultimately they're being controlled by the higher metropolitan areas, which has swung the other way. I think that what resonates with the more urban America, I live in San Francisco Bay, for example, is exactly what you're saying. It's not just food supply, because they go to the grocery store, and as long as it's on the shelves, you know, they don't care. But what they do care about is food quality. And I think they understand the difference between an American-grown, you know, food and pork and beef versus China. And right now, our number one pork producer has been taken over by China. They've taken over our chicken production, and I suspect they're working on the beef production. So food quality is extremely important to urban America. Recreation is extremely important to urban America. They don't realize that Yosemite is being shut down. There's a plan to shut it down, and they're moving forward on it every which way from Sunday, and other national parks, which are now becoming international, you know, considered to be belong to the United Nations, no longer the people of the United States, but the people of the world. That recreation is a very important issue, and it's frankly environmentalism. And that's why I think it's so important to begin to communicate what really is environmentalism and the destruction being caused by this neo-environmentalist, politically driven agenda, how it's destroying the environmentalism. And here in California, we have a very interesting thing happening. Normally, the people who go out and hike and camp and so forth are on the opposite side of the fence from the ranchers and the farmers. All of a sudden, they're beginning to realize that they're beginning to see themselves more on the same side of the fence, because they're both being locked out of the forests. they're both being locked out of these lands. And all of a sudden, things are becoming very interesting out here. So where people in the most liberal counties in California are beginning to listen more to the problems of the most conservative counties because they're dealing with the same problems.
The enemy of my enemy.
Yep.
They
may be widely divergent on, you know, social issues, but economic issues, I think the commonality is becoming clearer. And I think that's one of the things that we all need to help to make happen, because once I think people begin to see the commonality and the common interest, the stronger our side of this equation becomes.
Absolutely. That's something very interesting, because yesterday I sent out a bunch of bumper stickers, and it said, stand up, stand with America. And somebody sent me back and said, did you realize this was from this group and there, that? And that's exactly what I said. I said, at this point, it doesn't matter what group they're from. If they can't stand up for the Constitution, then what does it matter whether they're gay, lesbian, or they want abortions or not abortions, or support free lunch or not free lunch? If we don't have a Constitution, we're all going to be not having any free lunch at all. And it's time that we take down those barriers and realize that the first step is we're Americans, and that's what we have to come together on. The rest of it, we can filter out, we can talk about, we can come to terms with, and we're only not coming to terms with it because of people like the government, people like the media, and people like the attorneys. I love it when the attorneys, when you're having a conversation with someone and the attorney says, don't talk to them. You can't talk to them. You have to talk through me to talk to them. Excuse me, it's my lawsuit. It's not your lawsuit. Why can't I talk to them? Why can't I sit down and say, maybe we could work this out rather than spending gazillions of dollars on attorneys who are just trying to rape us, rather than us having a normal conversation? And I think that's where we're lost. We don't talk anymore. We don't talk to our neighbors. We don't talk to our families.
It's a big problem, and I think more people need to reach out and cross the boundary, which I've tried to do here in California. I don't actually talk politics, period. I don't care which side of the political equation you're on. I don't care what your social values are. I don't anymore. I mean, we're really down to the basement floor here. We're down to the fundamentals, and we've got to figure out where that common is that we can come back together again. And I think that it's increasingly becoming clear that all the factions are being targeted one way or another, and there's a huge opportunity for people to help to pull them together. And let me give you an example. And the way I preach and the way I advocate is that all the interests on our side need to come together at a county level in the rural counties, take their counties back. And so I think people who are fighting, whether you're fighting Agenda 21, you're fighting Common Core Education, you're fighting property rights, you're fighting environmentalism, you're fighting for water, you're fighting for recreational access, you know, you're fighting for crew quality. All these people really have a common interest, and if you can get those people to come together, work together, and take control of your county, county by county, state by state, that's the path that I see that we have left that's open to us.
And I couldn't agree more. And the other thing I'm encouraging, I tell everybody, run for office. Please run for office. We can't keep on either electing the same criminals or allowing them to get elected in county positions without opposition. And right now in the state of Florida, there are over 70 seats between the House and the Senate where the anointed ones will go back to Tallahassee unopposed.
Well,
how
that's
can
really
you,
too
you
bad.
Do anything with that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, we have been, conservatives, I think, have been so wrapped up in their work, their families, their homes. They never really paid that much of attention to politics. We always left it to somebody else. And now is the time when we can't afford to do that anymore. We've got to take a stand. We've got to get involved. Go to those. We've got to go to those planning meetings, and we've got to ask the right questions when we go.
Mm-hmm.
And the questions are not very hard, really, because it's like, how many jobs is that park going to create? What happens to the money when I asked my county commissioners if they were going to take, oh, our BP money. Oh, the states, the southern states got all this money from BP. So they gave it to all of the conservation groups, and they're going out and buying all the land.
Mm-hmm.
They came to our county, and they put in a proposal to purchase a piece of property for $7.5 million. Went to the county, the commissioners, and I asked them, I said, how much taxes does that property pay? And they figured it out, and he told me, oh, they pay about $15,000 a year in taxes. I said, okay, you're going to sell them that land. You're going to allow this to be approved. Does that mean you're going to lower the budget $15,000? Well, why would we do that? I said, well, you're taking $15,000 out of the budget. We are. Yes, you're selling the land and giving it to an entity that does not pay taxes. And I don't think that's the thing that people also don't realize.
Yeah, that's pretty well put.
No,
good idea.
And so that's what I've been telling everybody. Go there and ask the financial question, because that's what's usually missing from these environmental programs. They don't care. They don't care how many jobs are lost. They don't care how many businesses are out. We have a perfect example of exactly what you're talking about. In Panhandle of Florida, about 30 years ago, Florida was a very big in the logging industry. 30, 40, 50 years ago, 1800s, up and through the 1940s, 50s. Maybe that's 60 years ago. Anyway, all of a sudden, the environmentalist spotted something.
Neo-environmentalist, please.
Neo-environmentalist, yes, because I like that. Because I believe in the environment also. And extremes of either is never good. There's always got to be a balance. But anyway, this wonderful woodpecker basically closed the forest industry in Florida. Now, it has been closed for, let's say, 50 years. Now a new crowd is in Tallahassee, and they forgot, or they're not remembering, or they don't care, probably more like they don't care, the reason why the forests were closed. And all of a sudden, our wonderful governor is now selling a piece of our forest to a Austrian company who's going to come in here and provide jobs.
I think this was the intent all along. It's the redistribution of the means of production.
Exactly. And it's all over the paper how wonderful he is, because he's bringing in all of these jobs, because they have the people focused on jobs, not on the creation of business, which was the mainstay of America, American business, American small business.
Yep.
So what would be some clues, that some things that you'd be able to tell our listeners of things that they can do? What are some of the things that you guys have done to get the message out so that people are beginning to understand?
Well, I think that I can tell you what I've been doing is, I really believe that the answer lies in unification. I was Ross Perot's California State Chair for United We Stand America. I believe that's the right message. We need to be united. The problem is it's very difficult to achieve. We have too many independent thinkers, too many people that, are self-interested. I think it's, I don't know where it's going to get, but I think that until the people actually rise up once again and retake control, I think we're going to see a very rapid downward spiral of major proportions that I think people don't have any clue is coming. So I think that they need to become educated. Most of the constitutional education I've seen is good, but it doesn't go far enough. I think, trying to get people back in the original frame of mind of the Constitution and the founders of this country and understand the true checks and balances that are really in there, understand things like property rights, allodial property, land patents, sovereignty, these kinds of things that we've been brushing up against a little bit tonight, jurisdiction, really are extremely important. There's a range of education to do. Now, that said, I think people get in the mode of education and then never cross over and take action. They sit there and go to meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting. They whine, they whine, they whine, they whine. It never stops. Somewhere in the education, you have to say, hey, I know enough that there's a problem. And, hey, maybe I don't know enough, maybe I know, but I know enough to know who does know enough, and I'm going to follow that person. You know, and, yes. And I'm going to do what they say, and we're going to start to organize, and we're going to take back our county, and we're going to do these kind of things. In the meantime, I'll continue to learn. But learn has to turn to action. And
yes.
The action that has to happen is the action is the people have to come together, form coalitions, and focus on the only government that's remaining that they have any chance of getting control of, and that's local government. And through that control, and you know, let somebody else take their care of their county, and somebody else take care of their county. Focus on the local government and regain control of it, and begin to put in the proper structures to make sure that people have a voice once again. And then the people who do have understanding and do have solutions, support those people. You know, we got too many people who listen to, you know, John Doe give a lecture on blah, 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 and all of a sudden we got 30 more experts who think they don't have to listen to John Doe anymore. You know, this is really wrong. This is not the mentality that works. People have got to consolidate around the few people that really do understand things, that can lead things. Give them your support, both money, time, support, help them to get their message out, get behind them, pull together, you know, form your local organizations. I think this has got to happen. All these things are things that people can do. They can control. They can get these, do these kinds of things, and not putting their lives on the line or risk or anything else. All they can do these things without any risk to themselves. But begin to organize, form those networks, get your communication systems in place, get your press release and media. Understand how to do media. Understand how to do press releases. Understand who to communicate with. How to get your message out bigger and bigger audiences. Connect with other people. Connect with people across the country like you and I are doing here tonight. Connect with people who, you know, who are the ones that have the resources and the knowledge and so forth. We have got to form a tighter coalition against the number of people who are educated, motivated, and take an effective action, and then they have to address the real problems. We are faced with thousands of problems.
Right.
You know, if you want to blow
prioritize
up...
Prioritize them, too. That's the problem.
Let me finish this one analogy, and then I'll turn back. You want to blow up, say, the World Trade Center, or some building that's 200 stories tall, do you start with the 200th floor and blow it up, and then go down to the 199th floor and blow it up, and then go down to the 198th floor and blow it up? No.
Mm-hmm.
You blow up the basement,
right.
And the whole thing comes down. We don't have focus in this movement. We don't people who have enough knowledge to understand the world, to truly understand the priorities, and then you focus everything you got on those priorities. Now, I've laid out my thoughts on what those are in a video called How to Take Our Country Back. It's had over 70,000 views. Not bad for a video that doesn't have any sex or music in it.
Okay,
focus
wait a minute.
What
let's,
really
before
counts.
You go any further, let's find that video so I can write it down and get it out, and that is called?
It's all on the website. If you want to, all my stuff is
perfect.
In video now. I have a whole education series. It's all, you go in the store, it's pieced, there's various pages, various topics. You can see what I've talked about, the talk dates, and most of them have a video that goes with it. But that's what it's going to take. I think we have too many people, you know, hey, it's not that I'm up, you know, chemtrails. Okay, great, chemtrails. I'm worried about chemtrails. But you know what? You can chase that one for the next 10 years, and even if you win the thing, you haven't solved the problem.
Right.
You know, we got to stop chasing the leaves and go to the trunk and cut the damn trunk, if not, you know, cut the roots out.
Yep.
That's where I think people are making a huge mistake. So those are only things that I would suggest your audience to pay attention to and perhaps think about.
Well, our motto as Agenders was truth, education, conversation, and action. And that's what, you know, that's the way I work. That's what I've been telling everybody. First, you have to isolate the truth. Then you have to become educated in it. Then when you have solve the problem, you have conversations with others, and then you can form an action plan to be able to combat the problem.
But the bigger problem is education, because as a former teacher talking to the people now, I am realizing that the ignorance level is so massively high. It's staggering. And that creates another problem. So I ask everybody, when you're talking, like today, sovereignty, what does that mean? We have to tell each other what the words mean, because sovereignty to you was defined one way in your group, and then because they have done everything in group dynamics, they take the same word, they redefine it in another way to another group, do the same thing to another group, and when you all sit and have a conversation about sovereignty, you wind up arguing because you're talking about different things without realizing it.
I think it's one reason why the Federal America has been around forming teams and then getting the teams to study together, work together, and have teams across, you know, we have teams across a lot of counties simultaneously studying the same things, the same words, the same issues. And I do that from the perspective of telling people, look, you can disagree with what we're teaching. That's okay. But understand that all of you are going to walk out of here with a common base of knowledge and a set of words you can talk to each other with. That's a big deal. That's one thing that, for example, you know, New York City has all this, because they can commonize our language and the way we think through television or through Hollywood. And, you know,
right.
We all watch one movie, and, gee, you know, it's all now part of our common culture. We're missing that on our side, and I agree with you 100%. We've got to be able to get people. You don't have to agree with it, but we have to have a common base from which to start with. And I think that that's where your county teams and hopefully multiple counties within a region are working together can do that if they kind of go through the process and work it together.
Yes, absolutely. And once you have decided the commonality of the language, you then have to really understand the other thing that I tell everyone is that nothing happens at random. Everything that they are doing is based on a plan. And if you know what the plan is, which is easy to find because they tell you, we're going to do this to you. You don't read their marketing material. You go back and you read the words of the authors who created the marketing materials when they're sitting at their meetings thinking, you know, I'm going to do this at this meeting and it's going to be online, and then you wind up with conversations like we just had with one of our planners, Andre Duani, where he said, this central plan is fascism and we know fascism works, so get used to it. On tape. You know, so we have to be cognizant of the fact that they have the plan. And that if we learn the plan, which is, again, easy to do because it's always focused on the same three goals, money, power, and control, as long as you understand that, you can cut through any of their dribble and come back with the same program that fits every single thing they do. And that's what the other thing that we do not do, and I'm so glad you're doing that because that is exactly what has to be done. They format everything within the same guideline. It doesn't matter whether it's an environmental program, a water program, an energy program. Everything is always done the same way. And it always focuses around the crisis that they have created in order for it to start.
That's correct.
So you can sit back and say, okay, let's see. They want to go after, they all want to go after our food, so we have to create obese children, and then we can target the food. We have to create whatever, and then we can target that issue. We want to have abortions, so we have to teach that in school about pregnancy so the kids will get pregnant so that we can talk about and having an abortion. So if you follow along the same format, you can see every single program that they're doing, and then they back it up. They are, their tools that they use are the media, Hollywood, government, and back it up with that, so that by the time you get to the next step, you already know how it's supposed to be because Hollywood has told you or the media has told you what you are doing, how it's going to come out. And then you just, you step into that plan and you're following exactly what they have laid out for you, because education teaches you what to think, not how to think. We have to get back to how to think part.
I agree with everything you said.
Well, that's good. So your videos that you have done, you have arranged in counties in, tell me what you've done with the counties.
Well, you do have to have this education, and it has to be an education shared with a lot of people. So you do have to form, in my opinion, first off, I focus on rural America or the heartland, because it's not that I don't, you know, understand urban America. It's just that we're not going to win there. We're not going to win in Miami, New York City, Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles anytime soon.
No.
So we have to start where we have an opportunity, a chance to win. So basically, once you do that, you have to understand the problems they face, and you have to begin to take the knowledge that we have, this global knowledge that we have, and apply it to local problems. So in rural America, you very quickly get down to neo-environmentalism, because you're dealing with water, you're dealing with timber, you're dealing with these kind of things, land access. And so I don't even talk about Agenda 21, because it's just frankly not relevant to their issues. I have to bring my knowledge to their issues and then show them how to fight and get their water back, how to protect their property rights, how to do those kinds of things, you know, how to protect their forests. You have to deal in the problems that they have, that they care about.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put together a whole education set that starts with – discusses global issues at the same time it gets down to the asphalt. So it goes from philosophy. Why are we upset? What are our basic values? Where are our philosophies? Where do they come from? Where does the, you know, our government, where does that philosophy come from? What is the strategies? What are the tactics? What are they doing? What do we need to be doing? You know, how do we address the issues that really bring it down to the asphalt level? You know, it doesn't do any good to be talking about things at a global level. If somebody's got the water turned off, you have to understand how to help and get the water turned back on. And so that whole package of knowledge is there. I have been building a mammoth communication system where it is pulling all these different people and organizations together so they have a common understanding, organizing people at a county level. You have to get people who know each other, how to communicate with each other, how to educate with each other. You know, 1 million people went to Washington, D.C. with Glenn Beck. What
mm-hmm.
what happened? Zero.
Yep. Nothing.
It was a feel-good moment, but you walked away without any, you don't know who the next person
There's
was
no
next, standing next to you. There's no organization structure.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have organizational structure. So we've been building that structure, and what I call it is communicate, coordinate, cooperate. The first step is communication. You've got to get a bunch of people, get a bunch of email lists, start your list, start the communication process going and dealing with it. You can train people over the phone. You can train them remotely. You don't have to run all over the country to do this. But you have to get, you know, who they are and get them together, working together over a period of time. So that whole strategy, education, tactics, applying it to the real-world problems, organizing, all that stuff is there from, you know, global level to street level. That's what's been put together. But it's based upon, you know, targeting the problems that the rural America faces, and I've chosen that strategically, not because I'm ignorant of urban America, but because it's a strategic decision on my part. That's where I think the battle has to be fought if we're going to win.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you there, because rural America really controls the food, guys. Think about that. Rural America, that's one of the things that I've been working on, and that is farming. I decided that I was up to action and leading by example, getting furious that over 70 seats in Florida were going to be unopposed. I decided to run for office. And I'm telling everybody, you don't have to have a mammoth amount of money to run for office. All you have to do is have a mouth and a good message. Because the chances of somebody beating the establishment are slim and none. However, that's not the purpose our purpose is our message. And what better message comes from a prospective candidate who is then looked upon favorably by groups that you would never normally get into? So that was what I started doing. And as I'm going out and meeting with people, I am talking to as many people as I possibly can. And the interesting thing is that they're all focused on the same thing. And the questions that I'm getting are you going to do something about education? Are you going to bring jobs? And what are you going to do about my property rights? And no matter who I talk to, and I ask them if you could change something in Tallahassee, what would you change? I get those three questions. I get those three things back constantly. Constantly. And they're not even focused on Obamacare. I was surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Obamacare is like it's there, and they know it's a lie, and I use it because I point it out. I said, well, let's take a look at it. Do you think they're lying with Obamacare? Yes. Well, could they be lying in education, do you think? Could they be lying about jobs, do you think? Could they be lying about, you know, and you can then make the equation back. But I encourage everybody, run for office, please. Don't let these seats go unchallenged. Because it gives us a voice. It gives us, you know, it's easier as a consultant. The newspaper never printed what I wrote. But as a candidate, they'll print what I say.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference. Big difference. So, okay, these are cassettes that are on your website. Or these are videos?
They're DVDs. Yeah, they're DVDs of people.
I mean, I say cassettes? That, you know, shows my age.
I know what you meant.
At least I didn't say record or vinyl.
Eight-track?
Eight-track, yes.
The good old days.
Right, I had a broken record. I said that the other day, and somebody looked at me. I said, stop, you're sounding like a broken record. Huh?
Started talking like
you?
LPs, things like that,
yeah.
You know? That'll date you.
Yes, 78 and 45. Oh, my God.
That's it.
But anyway, so these are CDs that we can get to groups. This is wonderful. Saves me a lot of time because I was going to wind up doing something like that, and I'd much rather concentrate on the doing part now than on the structure part. And I'm so glad that you did this. This is truly wonderful. Getting together is of utmost importance. How are you finding the reception in the religious circles?
I don't go after any kind of a social angle. I don't talk, when I go to meetings, I don't talk about conservatives. I don't. When I refer to our side, I'm referring to people who are protecting their property and their rights. You know, I don't talk about those things. I don't go out to that. I don't look for it. I don't ask hands shown on those kind of issues or not. I mean, if you believe that it's the time to come together, then you really have to scrub your language of all those things and start to think like an American, you know, as a
right.
You know, one group. And so that's the way I do that.
I have found lately that more and more pastors are beginning to talk about property rights and education, and I'm finding that very encouraging because the morality that the lack of morality that surrounds all of these programs are staggering. And the sad part is with the black community and the American black, because we're Americans first, guys. The American black community, if they realize the damage that Planned Parenthood has done on purpose, because Margaret Sanger set out. Margaret Sanger, and by the way, Bill Gates Sr., who was one of the early presidents of Planned Parenthood and also believed in extinguishing the black race, the Negroid race, let's call it what it is, folks. We are Caucasian and they are Negroid. And that's where Negro came from. There are three races, Negroid, Caucasoid, and Mongoloid, Caucasian and Mongoloid. by taking out the words out of our vocabulary, it doesn't enable us to understand our history. And when you can't communicate, you get things like the blacks following Planned Parenthood. And in New York, they had more abortions than they had births.
I think it's over 50 million.
Oh, my God. It's horrible.
That's the number.
That is horrible. Horrible. And yet we are guided into these nonsense programs, and we need to bring back our focus. Now, we're facing...
I think people don't really understand. A lot of people don't know that Planned Parenthood, the original name was eugenics something or other, wasn't it?
Yes. Look up, everybody, look up Margaret Sanger. She was the person who created Planned Parenthood, and she said in her early words, "I will extinguish the black, the Negro race. They are subhuman. They do not deserve to exist." Her words, not mine. And Bill Gates, Sr., is a follower. Bill Gates Jr. is a follower, and he says it online in videos. He's not a good guy. Stop idolizing him. How did he get his money? He stole it from other people by putting them out of business. He was just there first. That's all. But anyway, what we have to, you know, get back to, and one of the things that I'm realizing is that with the cold that we are having up north, the flooding that's going to happen because they blew up these dams is going to flood the farmland out of existence. What are we going to do?
Well, I don't know about the flooding there. We're having a drought issue out here, but, you know.
Right. That's right.
I don't know the details enough to talk about it. Here, if we have flooding, it's going to be a result of dams that are no longer there, and there's no checks, therefore the water just flows from mountain to ocean and takes everything along with it.
I have a friend in Wyoming, and he said that they, in the Midwest, they have lost over 200,000 head of cattle, and I notice now we're up to 300,000 head of cattle because of a combination of the drought and the weather up north. And then I'm thinking, we work with scientist John Casey, where is all of this snow going to go? Well, it's going to flood the Mississippi River. That's a given. That happens. Well, it's going to flood the Missouri River. That's a given. So all those towns and all the farmland along Mississippi and the Missouri, and this is such a staggering amount. But now you've got me thinking about all the dams in the Midwest, and when the water is not controlled, those areas are going to flood also. I believe.
And they're taking them out in the east, too. This isn't just the West or Midwest issue. They're taking them out in the east as well.
So all of the towns that are downstream or downriver from these blown dams, folks, where is the water going to go? Snow
away.
Turns into water. Snow turns into water. And then we have an issue, as John Casey said, is that the season is going to extend longer. So if May is like April or March and the frost extends into June, there's not going to be time to plant anything. We're going to have a huge food issue. A huge food issue, which may be why FEMA is buying so much food and everything else that they're buying.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to form groups in our towns and in our communities. And we need to, what can we do to stop some of the regional programs? Because I don't think people understand the purpose of regionalism either.
Well, I think that once you set your sights on grabbing control of your county, you will inherently be taking on their participation in regional activities and constrain that to being basically, if there's going to be any regional activity, the regional thing cannot crossed the line and become a government. And I think that we're looking at legal remedies for those kinds of things. And when people step outside of their authorized duties, they're not immune. They can be sued. There's both civil and criminal charges that can be brought against representatives that step outside the box. And when you start to delegate away the decision-making power to a regional group, what you're doing essentially is taking away the representation from the people in your county or your city. You are stepping across the line. So I think that that's part and parcel of grabbing control of your county is going after the regionalism.
Yes.
There is a role for regional type of thing, but it should not become a government. It's just like the federal government should not have become what it has become, nor should the United Nations go from being a discussion forum, as the Congress is supposed to becoming a world government. And that's their plan, is to replace democratic government with regionalism and stakeholders instead of citizens and constituents. So, again, I think the solution is the same area. Let me ask you, time-wise, I know that you had originally talked about an hour, and I've kind of hit that. I've got some other things going. Was there anything else we could do to wrap up?
No, the only other thing question that I have for you is, can you describe what a stakeholder is? Because I just got a question from someone. What's a stakeholder?
Anybody. But, you know, the way that our government is formed is, you know, you have a structure where people are organized on a geographic basis, and the people in that geography make the decisions that affect that geography for the most part. That's the idea. People closest to the problem, they are the ones that have the solution that affects them directly. In order to corrupt the process, they have to change the language. And so instead of constituent, they've substituted this word that sounds kind of good, stakeholder. Well, okay, they have a stake in the outcome. Well, if you go back to some of the presidential elections, you'll see it crawling in the presidential elections, particularly, say, Clinton, when they came after him for the corruption and taking the money from China. They say, well, China has a stake in the outcome of, you know, the federal election in the United States. Therefore, they should be able to put money to the election. So they've substituted the word stakeholder. Well, the answer is a complete inversion. So let's take, for example, a county here in California or anywhere, and the people close to the problem essentially have no voice anymore because everybody else has a voice.
Yes.
And so if you do one of these things, an agency goes out to try and list an animal as a endangered species, they go out, we need public input. If you go to the website to provide public comment on a listing, they don't even ask you where you live. They don't ask you who you are. You can do it anonymously. And furthermore, they don't even ask you what country you're in. You can be in China and be making contributions to the comments about what goes on here in California. So the word stakeholder, although it sounds good, is a word to try and give some kind of a legitimacy to a bastardized concept that is basically attacking a democratic representative government, which consists of constituents.
That's right, folks. The only people who get a vote should be the constituents. It's our voice. Thank you so much, Kirk. I really appreciate everything that you have told us, and we're going to start telling everyone. I think every Tea Party, every group, every agency, every organization should have your CDs and should be watching your videos, because that's the key to really taking anything back, is a uniform action. And that doesn't mean you have to give up your identity. It just means that you're following the same underlying organization, the same. It's like when you set up the operations manual of a corporation. Everybody in all the departments all follow the same operation manual, even though they're in different departments. They all know where the human resources is. They all know when they get their paychecks. They all know certain parameters and guidelines. The rest, they all do individually themselves. But the main focus is always done the same so that they can plug in and talk to each other. So thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Karen.
This was wonderful. Everyone, go to defendruralamerica.com. Kirk's videos are fantastic. I have seen them. I can't stress enough how important it is to understand what is happening, because if we don't understand what's happening, we can't fix anything, because all we're doing is putting Band-Aids on something that's already broken, and a Band-Aid doesn't fix anything. I think we need Gorilla Glue. What do you think, Sally?
Okay,
it's the gorilla in the room.
That was such good information. And a couple of times I was going to ask a question on some stuff that you guys are covering so much, I just kind of decided to let that roll. But something he mentioned, I think we can definitely take, people need to truly appreciate, is these quasi-government authorities. You think of every governmental authority or agency that's created, and they are given enormous power, but we the people didn't elect them, and they're not accountable. And I mean, I'm thinking right here, you know, it's right here in Orange County. Of course, we all know nationwide, here you've got the EPA. It's all, who's elected to EPA? Who did you vote for EPA?
Right.
You know,
I've started now, and I put on every email that I am doing right now, and it says Article 4, Section 4. Americans are guaranteed a Republican form of government, and that means a representative form of elected people. You elect the people. They make the laws. You vote on them. You tell them what to do. Otherwise, you don't vote for them again. And then we are also forgetting Marbury versus Madison. That was so important because it states that a law, any law, statute, regulation, guideline, program that starts out being unconstitutional is void, V-O-I-D, cannot be enforced. So when these programs come down from these groups, or when water management comes on your property, they are an agency that should not exist, let alone write citations, write laws. And then somebody said, oh, but Karen, they have the statutes in the Florida Constitution. Well, hello, if it's not constitutional, it doesn't matter what they write. It doesn't matter what they say, because it can't be enforced. It's void. And until we get that in our heads, that's the problem.
And the other problem that comes along with this, and, you know, we talk a lot about local government, who's your county commissioners and city council and this kind of stuff, which is definitely true. Lord only knows how much I would like to have some kind of Roto-Rooter device that I could clean out all the sewage that's in public office. But we don't talk enough about judges, because that's the other aspect of this, and this is where the tyranny really kicks in, because, yes, it's an unconstitutional law, and it's null and void, but they still put you in jail. Even though it's all wrong, the system is corrupt throughout it, and that, I think, it plays a very big part of it. And so people really need to be looking at these judges, too, because, you know what, again, a couple of times I had a couple of questions throughout this, but there was so much conversation going, I really didn't want to interrupt. It's like when we talk about suing, and we've got so many rights. If we, you know, if we had all the class action suits and everything else everything these people have done to violate their oath of office, to violate our rights, to violate the Constitution in every which way you can imagine, nobody would be in office, and we'd all be spending all of our time down at the courthouse because it's that bad. But the fact is, the court, the judicial system, a.k.a. the Supreme Court, has been corrupted, too. And, I mean, it's just really mammoth of all the sewage we have to clean out.
Well, I really agree with you, and I believe that this year is the most important year of any election. And, folks, I'm very serious, especially if you're in Florida. 72 people are going to be anointed like kings and queens back into the Florida legislature because they're running unopposed. If they're running unopposed, they don't have to listen to you. They don't feel that they owe you anything. They don't need your vote. It doesn't matter to them. You're not going to make a difference because they're going to be there regardless. We have to stop doing that, folks. We have to stop giving our power. This is all about money, power, and control. They have all the money. They have the printing press. They're printing. Today was very funny. On some talk show, I half listened, but the guy said, well, they're doing good on Wall Street. Well, of course they are. They're pumping $85 billion into the corporations. Our money. Of course they're doing good. Hello? Duh. And then he says, and the minimum wage. Well, you got to ask yourself, why are you in a minimum wage job? And I'm thinking, NAFTA, GATT, trade agreements, my job is overseas. The only thing I can get, and I'm happy to have, is a job, period, so that when Rick Scott comes full circle and says, look at me, I'm going to bring jobs to Florida from foreign corporations, because don't worry, you'll get $10 an hour instead of $7.50. We stole your land, we stole your house, that was okay, and we'll give you a job, because the job numbers are too low, I mean too high. Folks, Sally, I am running for office because it's time that we, the people, started to take back our power. And that's what I was talking about before. Somebody can only have power over you if you let them. Period.
Yeah. And we have been in the brainwashing. I know it started in the schools little by little, calling these people honorable. No, they are servants. If you want to call them public servant Rubio, Marco Rubio, you are my public servant. You are not the master. You are not the king. You are not God. You work for me, and I don't like the job you're doing. And, we have got to get back to that mentality instead of everything, the honorable so-and-so. And that's why I was saying it was so disgusting listening to this crap this morning. You know, when I heard them say, we appreciate your sacrifice, your public service and your sacrifice, you know what? I say people who go fight for us, the military, those people sacrifice. They put their line on the line, not you morons sitting in a chair in Tallahassee. I mean, the nerve
writing,
of them to say
writing
that.
A rule or writing a law that's unconstitutional to begin with, that's going to force you off your property. Because, those septic tanks, well, they'll be back again. Oh, they might pollute the water. They'll be back again. And by the way, Sally, you know that water that's on your property that you thought you owned? Well, you don't own that anymore. We decided. Who the hell are you to decide anything? That's what the issue is. We decided from water management that your puddle is a puddle. And we decided, well, who died and left you, boss? We're equal. As a matter of fact, I'm paying you. So you
and
didn't
this
decide
to,
anything.
Well, and we can talk about Coral Gable, where this lady's living off the grid, and they're coming after her for living off the grid. It's so outrageous. The nerve of them to say that you have to use electricity. You'd think if there was any environmentalist who were, let's talk neo-environmentalists, what they really are, you'd think they'd be happy somebody wasn't using electricity, was being more conservative, environmentally friendly on those kind of things. But they go out there and they play God. They play God and say, you're going to live the way we tell you to live. And you know what? For all these people who say air conditioning is not sustainable and this, all these, and what we know is Agenda 21 sustainable development stuff, that if you go back to what we truly had, the outhouses, it's a lot different then, too. They wouldn't allow that either.
No,
these
that's
people
right.
are nuts.
That's absolutely right. Well, the other day when I went to one of the meetings, and they were talking about this, I raised my hand and I asked the fellow that was conducting the meeting if I could have his car keys. Well, what do you mean? Well, it says in your booklet that you should be living with rollerblades and roller skates and bike paths and bikes, so, and no vehicles. I read that right in your green, your Northwest Florida green, what the heck is it called? Northwest Florida Green Infrastructure Design on page 30. This is the way you're going to be living. You want to do that. So can I have your keys, please? Look at how much money we're going to save. They don't think about what they're doing, folks. They don't make an equation of what they're saying to implementation because they're busy writing. All this does is it looks good on paper. When you go to implement it in the real world, it doesn't work. Perfect example, what's going on with the gas right, with the electricity right now? Well, if you shut down the coal plant, guess what happens? There's not enough electricity. I read an article coming from New York. They're not telling the people that they're almost out of gas, that there are going to be brownouts. Brownouts are bad enough in the summer, but a brownout in the middle of a snowstorm when it's minus 5 degrees, that'll be fun. They don't think.
It's despicable.
Well, and you know, we're taught, you know, and again, to go back to this mentality of this education, you go out there and you vote and that you've done your job. You know, voting is only one small piece of it. And if you don't pay attention to what these people really do, then don't even bother voting. I personally say if you're not going to be engaged in the discussion, then don't vote for anybody because you're not helping the situation. But if you want to truly be an American and take your right, you know, your obligation seriously, you need to be informed and you need to pay attention to who you vote for. Forget the stupid parties. The parties by themselves mean nothing. Look at the individual. Remember common,
yep,
communism, common property, all this other crap that's going around out there. Look at the individual, you know.
That's what I tell everybody, don't listen to their words. Oh, why shouldn't we listen to them? Because they lie. Surprise. Their
actions speak louder than words.
They lie. Don't listen to their words. Go look at their actions. What have they done? That'll tell you what they are all about. The rest of it is irrelevant. And then you have
just
to
like
choose people that agree with your belief system.
Well, just like, you know, we just opened the first Sunrail scam rail thing here at Station, here in Winter Park, Orlando, wherever the heck the stupid thing is. This is nothing but a scam. It was a way to take money away from the people and give it to the special interests. This was Representative John Micah, who was giving the money to his friends at CSX. And, you know, and I don't know how many times I would hear people preach about it. Oh, we need mass transit, rail transit, we need this. The people in Volusia County need to have a better way to get to Disney than going on I-4 and this and that. And when I would talk to the same people who would be pushing it so much, just like you said, are you going to stop driving your car and ride this? And, well, no, I'm not going to use it. It wouldn't be convenient for me. And this has been the truth again with any kind of commuter rail, with the exception of a high-density place like New York City, which Orlando isn't and will never be as much as they might want to. Some pea brains might want to think of it. You're not going to have the kind of ridership that can support a rail system. So you just stole money from the people to give it to the special interest. And in this case, all of Florida is now liable for the CSX accidents that happened on those tracks. It's a freight train. We are still liable because that's the way they made the legislation. This is what these people are doing. You got to get rid of the scum. And, you know, you were talking a little bit about corporations. We were talking about corporations earlier. We got to This is one of the stupidest things to me. Probably the only thing I've ever agreed with Obama on was when the Supreme Court ruled a corporation as a person. A corporation is not human.
No.
They have no business participating in the election process.
No. Corporations are made up of individual people. And that, again, is individualism, not collectivism, which is the corporation. And you're very, very right. And John Micah, I believe, was one of those people that was running unopposed.
Oh, yeah.
Folks, go to the website. Go to the supervisor of elections or the Department of Elections in Florida. Go to the list of candidates. Count them yourself. Look at the list in your state and see who is running unopposed. And then go find somebody with a mouth that is not afraid to talk to run against them. Don't worry about winning or losing. Don't worry about spending money. Just worry about getting the message out and give them opposition. People are looking for opposition. They're looking for a refreshing, truthful point of view. And this is the year to give it to them. And we're not doing it. We are not doing our job. And that's really, really sad. And that is a bad reflection on us. Stop giving them the power. Well, unfortunately, it's time to say goodbye, and I will never quit my day job and sing. Oh, God. However, unfortunately, it is that time again. So I want everybody to remember two things from tonight. Well, actually three. Go to Defend Rural America, take a stand, and run for office. Organize your group. And then after you have done that, run for office. And on the top of every email that you write, write Article 4. Section 4, I am guaranteed a Republican form of government. And underneath that, put Marbury versus Madison. Any unconstitutional law, statute, rule, regulation is not enforceable. It is void. Folks, let's remember we have these rights and we're going to lose them as fast as this show is going to wind down and say goodnight. We can't afford to do that. And so, Sally, it's you and I, and I hope John has an absolutely wonderful time at Mardi Gras. And you're listening to American Freedom Watch Radio. And we are brought to you live on blogtalkradio.com, American Statesman. And that is on Tuesday from 8 to 10. Please listen to our podcasts. Please share them. This was very, very important tonight with Kurt McKenzie. Please send it around to everyone. Understand your property rights. And then go to agenda21today.com, KarenShone.com, VoteKarenShone.com for all the support information that you could want. And listen to us on Red State Talk Radio on Wednesday at 12 afternoon and Sunday at 12 in the evening. And so, Sally, we have come to the close of another Tuesday.
Excellent.
Let's hope.
And I learned a lot tonight myself.
I know. This was really, really good. I learned a lot also. He is fabulous. And it is so important, folks. There's so many good people out there. One of the things that I learned from Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, if you want to be rich, follow somebody that is. Just do what they do. And that's what he has laid out, and that's all we have to do, is follow what he's doing. Anyway, good night. Good night, America. Good night, all of you. Thank you all for listening. Please share our information. It's so important. And remember, victory is our only option. We have no other choice. America must be free. Thank you all for listening. Good night, Sally.
Good night.